As we continue our sermon series called Summer Stretch, we get encouragement from the Apostle Paul, who says, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So we're joining the Apostle Paul as we stretch to press on to know Jesus. As Brett said, we're committed to following Jesus. We're letting go of what's behind and stretching toward what God has in store for us. So 2 weeks ago, we started to stretch to make followers. Last week, we were reminded to stretch our reach to children and youth. And today, we're going to be stretched in God's call on our lives. So if you want to be stretched, then follow God's call, because God will definitely stretch you and as you go along. A great example of stretching in God's call, I think, is what we're experiencing in sending kids to camp this summer. So if you're new with us, we're committed to sending kids to camp to the point that we are covering half of the kids' scholarship, half of the kids' cost to go to camp. And doing that, we want every kid to be able to go to summer Bible camp. So this year, we're stretching to send 56 kids to camp. It keeps going up. We added two more this week. You know, every week, it becomes a little more. And it's a stretch because even though we keep faithfully giving, we keep sending more kids, so the amount keeps going up. So we keep stretching. It keeps getting bigger. But we believe the stretch is all worth it. The Holy Spirit has taken our willingness to impact kids and youth, and He keeps stretching our ministry muscle more and more. You know, just like we prayed for, right? Just like we asked for. But it's even more than we planned on, more than we imagined or hoped for. And honestly, when it was a couple years ago when we decided to do this, we were sending about 20, 25 kids to camp. Sounded like a great idea. Now, at 50, after last year, we had a huge jump. I thought 50 would be a huge stretch for us. We'd probably never send that many kids because that was just a long ways to go. But the Holy Spirit didn't think so. And praise God, we have 56 now. Can I get a hallelujah from somebody? Praise God, right? That's amazing. And so way to go, church, for responding to God's call, because we believe that sending these kids to camp will have a huge impact on a worldwide mission of Jesus in the days, in the months, and in the years to come. But sometimes we forget that it's not just stretching our bank account. The campers themselves are being stretched. You know, as they commit to going, they're taking big risk to go to camp. So you students who have gone to camp, you're taking a big risk in doing that. You're opening yourselves up to something amazing, and that is God's call on your life. So it's no small matter when you do that. So I'm inspired, students who are going to camp, I'm inspired by your courage to do that. So good job for going, good job for taking your friend, good job for being a friend and going if that's where you are or if you haven't yet gone. For most of you, it's fun and exciting, and I'm glad that you're coming back, you're sharing some good things about it, it's pretty cool. But something else is really happening at camp. You're being prepared to follow Jesus for the rest of your lives. And that's a serious business. It really is. Being a follower of Jesus is the most important thing that you will ever do in your life. I really believe that, the most important thing. And while you're having fun and worshiping God and meeting Jesus in new ways, you're also being asked to do something really important, and that is to say yes to however God wants to use you to make followers. God wants you and me to make our lives all about following Jesus. And that's what it means when we say we have a calling. You ever heard that? It means God has given us a call on our lives. That means that God, Jesus, calls you and me to do His work in the world. And you know what that work is, right? It's loving people. It's caring for people. It's serving people. It's helping people. It's teaching people about Jesus so they can know Jesus like you and I know Jesus. So our calling, it's to be like Jesus. You have that calling. It's to be Jesus to people all over the world. And you do that to kids like Lucy and Zula in the Congo and people like your classmates in school. The Holy Spirit shows you and me that one-of-a-kind thing that he calls us to be as a follower of Jesus so we can reach people that others maybe aren't able to. So the Apostle Paul says that his goal is to follow Jesus. He says it like this. He says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And here's my guess. Kids, students, everybody else here, you really want to say yes to God's call on your life too. Is that right? Do you? Do you want to answer Jesus' call and say yes to making followers who make followers of Jesus? So if you do, if you want to do that, I want you to turn to the person next to you and gently give them a high five and say, I'm pressing on, okay? Go ahead, do that. Boom, I'm pressing on. I want to say yes to following Jesus. Gently, there you go. So I want to talk to you, mission friends under 30. So if you're under 30 years old today, you don't have to point that out. If you're under 30 years old today, God has surprising ways of raising you up to serve him. So to become the church's next generation of leaders. And I believe it's happening right now, absolutely. I believe that you will most likely be serving alongside people right now. If you're under 30, you're most likely going to be serving alongside people who don't yet know Jesus. Imagine that. Who don't yet know Jesus. Evangelical theologian Carl Henry, he describes it like this. He says, of course, there's hope for the next generation of evangelicals, but the leaders of the next generation might not be coming from the current evangelical establishment. There are probably still pagans. That means they don't yet know Jesus. Who knew that Saul of Tarsus would be the great apostle to the Gentiles? That means the non-Jewish people. Who knew that God would raise up C.S. Lewis or Charles Colson or the many others? They were once unbelievers. They were not followers of Jesus. But the Spirit of God can turn all of that around and seems delighted to do so. The new birth doesn't just transform lives, creating repentance and faith. It also, and here it is, it also provides new leadership for the church and fulfills God's promise to gift the church with everything needed for her march through space and time. So with faith in what God is doing right now, we press on and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does and raising up new leaders just like we read in Paul's letter in Ephesians. He says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So kids and students, you are called, right, to be followers of Jesus who make followers of Jesus. And everyone under 30 here today, you are being called, you are being raised up to be leaders in this generation and the next to make followers of Jesus. And for those over 30, the rest of us, me, you, everyone here today, we have a calling from God. And you know what that is? It's to make followers of Jesus who make followers of Jesus to build up the body of Christ. But you just may not yet realize that you can actually say yes to God's call right now. Right now. But it's going to mean stretching. So let's get ready to stretch. We're going to start with stretching our muscles, all right? We got to stand up, get stretched out. I have somebody to help us out here today, so go ahead and stand up and do as this animated movie star will tell us to do. Are we there? All right. Give that one more time. Oh, well, he said reach for the sky. So go ahead, reach for the sky. There we go. All right, reach for the sky. Stretch out. Stretch up as long as you can. Now, we've been doing this for a few weeks, so we're really going to work on it. So stretch high and then turn a little bit over, just a little farther than we did last week. All right, shirts untucked. There we go. All right, up. Reach for the stars. Reach for the sky and then back the other way. Stretch over a little more. There we go. Back should be cracking. All right, back up to the top and reach. Stretch as high as we can. There we go. Stretch it all out and let out your breath, down. All right, you may be seated. All right, we're stretched. Whew. In the passage that was read today in Acts chapter 9, I see three reasons why right now you and I can stretch and say yes to God's call in our lives. Three reasons right now. And here's why it's important. Most of us, I think, here believe, I think we know that we have a call on our lives. But right now, we might feel that two things. We don't quite yet feel qualified for it, or we might feel disqualified for it. So it could be that right now you feel like you're too young, or you're too old, or you don't know enough, or the conversation might go something like this in your head. I think I have a calling, but I've made some really bad choices along the way. I had some difficult circumstances, and I think it's really made me unfit for God's call. You know, I know that conversation. By the time I was 24 years old, there was no way, absolutely no way, I ever thought about serving God. No way. I wasn't following Jesus. So you feeling that way right now? That there's no way? So let me ask you, what do you think disqualifies you from your God-given calling? What do you think it is that's keeping you back, stopping you? So let's look at what I think disqualified Saul from God's call in his life. So he shows up the first time in the book of Acts, standing at the killing of a young man named Stephen. Stephen was martyred for following Jesus, and Saul's there. And then he goes on to arrest and bring people to prison who are following Jesus. He's so committed to it that he gets letters. He travels to a city far away, Damascus, to continue to do that, to drag people back to Jerusalem, to throw them in prison. And the Bible says he was breathing out murderous threats. That doesn't sound good, does it? And all this, all of this Saul's doing because he believes that he is serving God in all of this. He's stamping out the beginning of this thing called the way, these Jesus followers that he thinks are misleading people. So I would say, maybe you agree, that's not a good start for Paul and Jesus, or for Saul and Jesus, right? So is that somebody that you would like leading the church? What do you think? But something happens on the road to Damascus. Paul is blinded by a light, and he hears this voice from heaven, and the voice calls him by name. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul knows, you know, voice from heaven, this is God. You know, Saul gets that. But he can't imagine why God is saying that Saul is persecuting him. How can that be? So he thinks he's serving God. So he simply asks, who are you? And he finds out. Who is it that's talking to Saul on the road? You guys know who is it? Jesus. Jesus does. It says, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. So Saul's whole world in that instant has been turned upside down. In that moment, he thought he was doing God a service, and he finds out that instead, he's up face to face with the guy he's been persecuting, with Jesus, and Jesus is calling him to follow. Not only that, but he's totally dependent on Jesus because in this flash of light, he's become blind, he's confused, and Jesus tells him to go into Damascus and he'll find out what happens. And so Saul, he has a whole new understanding of God now, right? He met Jesus. He knows the risen Christ, the Son of God. And now he has a new agenda on his life, and that is to follow Jesus. But wait a minute. Aren't we missing something here? You know, the whole time that Paul is persecuting the followers of Jesus, he finds out that he's actually persecuting Jesus himself. So wouldn't that disqualify Saul? Wouldn't that make him a bad follower? So what do you think disqualifies you for God's call on your life? Jim Gilmore, he tells about Tony Lucadello, who was baseball's greatest scout. He signed 52 youngsters, including two Hall of Famers, who would rise through the minor leagues and eventually play in the Major League Baseball. So this number of signees makes it that made it to the big leagues ranks higher than any other scout. So how did he do it? Well, he looked at how coachable a kid was, how a hitch in a swing or throwing quirk could be corrected. He saw years down the road to envision, under the tutelage of better coaching and stiffer competition, how a player would play. He used rose-colored glasses, looking to see the potential in talent rather than just the current state of talent, the potential. So in the same way, the ultimate scout, Jesus, can see redeemed children years down the road. Jesus saw Saul not as persecutor, but as chosen instrument. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees me. Not how we are, but what we can become through him. So there's really only three qualifications for ministry, according to Samuel Johnson. One is the grace of God. Two, knowledge of Scripture. And three, I like this one, gumption. Gumption. You heard about that? So you and I don't make ourselves qualified for God's call. Jesus does. That's grace. Say it with me. Grace. Grace, right? That's grace. And when we respond to God's call, God has a way of growing us in his word, giving us a passion and helping us to grow and understand. We don't have to know everything before we start. God does that because we are a work in progress. Say that with me. I'm a work in progress. That's right. And the last qualification is gumption. It's saying, yes, God, help me. Say that with me. Gumption. Gumption. All right, it's gumption. Yes, God, help me. So over the past 2 years, I've seen many of you step into roles of serving with grace, as a work in progress, with gumption. Just that willingness to say yes to God and see what happens. And the outcome, I mean, look around. It's amazing what God is doing. It's actually on the verge of miraculous because your willingness to say yes, God, I'm stepping into your call. So is it time to stretch in God's call in your life? So here's the second stretch to say yes right now to God's call. Do you know anyone that the Holy Spirit would never use you to lead to Jesus? Do you know anyone like that, that God would never use you to lead them to Jesus? Someone who is just simply beyond your stretch, God would have to use someone else to reach them. Who would that be in your life? Is anyone like that? God could never use you to reach them. Well, let's look back at Saul. While Saul was sent by Jesus to a house in Damascus, he was still blind, he was not eating, and at that same time, a man named Ananias was receiving a calling from Jesus in a vision. We read it again. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas in Straight Street and ask for a man named from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. Now, I think this is a rhetorical question, but have you ever felt intimidated about sharing your faith with someone? Yeah, probably, right? Ever felt intimidated? You know, even to the point where you're sure that there's no way that God has called you to reach out to someone in the name of Jesus to share your faith? That like, oh no, God would never use me to do that. You know, that's what Ananias was feeling, right? You know, he gives Jesus a pretty good reason why that doesn't seem like a good idea right now. So he's a person who's persecuting and harming the church. I was like, no thanks, God, no thanks. But what I really like about Ananias is he still obeys Jesus. You know, he still goes to Saul. Ananias stretches in God's call in his life, and the outcome again is nothing under miraculous. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. You know what baptized means, right? He becomes a follower of Jesus. Saul, the persecutor, becomes follower of Jesus. Is God calling you to stretch and reach a Saul? Don't write him off. Stretch. Last week, Chairperson Rick Sando, he came up here and shared about our expansion information that's on the bulletin board over there, the work that the task force is doing, and I encourage you to take a look. Have you gotten a chance to look over there and see what's going on? I hope you do. You know, I appreciate the work of the task force that we've called them to do, the information that the Northwest Conference has given us up there. You know, it's exciting to think about what could be ahead. People around town, they're beginning to ask, you know, what's going on over there? And I've decided that here's what I'm going to say. I don't know. Come and see. You know, the big question, however, is how much is it going to cost, right? How much do we need to stretch? It's a good question. But the bigger question is, how much am I going to sacrifice? How much do I need to stretch for it to happen? It's always fun to think about an expansion project and, you know, the funds coming from some generous donor out there who's really going to make a big difference, and there will be. But what will it look like if I'm the generous donor? You know, I was asking myself, you know, if we go ahead with this, you know, how much am I in on all of this? You know, what would be a real sacrifice for Cheryl and I? You know, $100 a week? You know, for some, that's a huge sacrifice. For us right now, probably not a big deal. That'd probably be easy enough. How about maybe a double tithe? 10% more of our income. We'd feel that, wouldn't we? What is a real sacrifice? And what would it mean for the mission of making followers? What are you and I willing to sacrifice? How far are we willing to stretch? Now let's shift that thought. Let's apply it to our calling from God. Move it away from building projects and tithing and funding. Move it to that experience of our call from God. So let me share it this way. In that calling, would you rather experience significance and success or suffering and pain? Which would you choose? Pretty easy, isn't it? Okay, significant and success, right? Of course, that's what we want. I mean, we want you know, things to go good. We want to, you know, have taken a step of faith and really see a wonderful outcome. But what if the outcome is suffering and pain? What if it's necessary? What if we're called to it? Are we willing to experience struggle and difficulty and struggling for Jesus' name? You know, we missed two verses in this passage. We need to pause on them. Saul, he had a mission to carry out Jesus' call. Saul had a calling, and Jesus describes it to Ananias. He says this, "The Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man,'" he's speaking about Saul, "'is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel.'" Wow, that sounds great. That sounds significant. That sounds like success. Then he says this, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." It all sounded great until that last part, didn't it? Being a chosen instrument. That's high profile. That's an impressive calling. The last part, suffering, not so much. Who'd choose that? Suffering for Jesus' name. But maybe, could be, that's our calling. And if so, how will we respond? Henry Nouwen, he's a writer, he says, "It would be just another illusion to believe that reaching out to God will free us from pain and suffering. Often, indeed, it will take us where we rather would not go. But we know that without going there, we will not find our life. Jesus said, whoever loses their life for my sake will gain it. Maybe our stretch and what matters most is actually not to pray that we would never experience suffering or pain, but instead that the Lord would strengthen us to endure the suffering for his sake. Saul, who is later known as the Apostle Paul, he did suffer a great deal. He was credited also with bringing the gospel to pretty much all of the known world of his day. God did use Saul because Saul did respond to his calling. And years later, Paul, then the Apostle Paul, he writes back to his church, encouraging them to give it all for the call. He says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So this summer, let's strive with Paul. Let's press on like Paul, and let's stretch to give it all for the call. You're called. Let's pray. Jesus, I confess it's easier to think about all the wonderful, fun, glorious things about being your follower and to kind of skip over those difficult things about sacrifice and suffering. But Lord, you know. You even tell us, Lord, that it's going to involve that. But Lord, that you use it, you redeem even the pain and suffering for your glory. And so, Lord, help us to be those courageous followers who encourage one another, who strengthen one another, who call on you and rely on your grace, Lord, to strengthen us through the suffering, through the pain, that you may accomplish your purpose in us. Lord, we know what lies ahead far surpasses anything in this life. And so, Lord, let us set our eyes on you. Fix our eyes on you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And, Lord, give it all for the call. In Jesus' name, amen.